Good morning. Do you find a Bible? Hopefully there's one near you in the pews or in the chairs. And turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Our reading today is very short, but it's very powerful. Matthew chapter 5, page 969 and verses 14 to 16. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. There are moments in your life when you're given a title and you have to pinch yourself that that title is real. Maybe that moment when you pass your driving test and you are now a qualified driver, free to be on the roads on your own. Maybe you qualify as a doctor, free to practice medicine. That's always unnerving, isn't it, that phrase, on others. Maybe qualified as a teacher. Maybe become a parent. Suddenly, this is you. This is true of you. This is who you are. And there are responsibilities that come with that. And yet none of them are on the same scale as to what Jesus says here. You are the light of the world. You. This is the third in our mini-series, looking at who we are as church. We've looked at the truth of us being the body of Christ, joined together, each of us apart, each to play our part, each to have equal concern for each other. We've looked at us being the bride of Christ, so loved by him. Today, we are the beacon, or as phrased here, the light of the world. Matthew 5 is famously called the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is teaching those who are following him what it is to be his people, to be in his kingdom. The Beatitudes that you can see just on the page before, those famous statements of Jesus, begin and end with this phrase of people who belong to the kingdom of heaven. This is you if you're my people. And he moves on to explain what that will look like. But as part of that, verse 14, you are the light of the world. It's extraordinary, isn't it? Perhaps more famously, we know Jesus said of himself, I am the light of the world. John's Gospel. And said to others, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. This world is dark. It's shrouded in the grip of sin, of Satan, of death. Living in Cheam, we can kid ourselves that it's not that bad, but we don't have to scratch too far beneath the smile to find heartache and pain and sorrow. And just 5 minutes in our newspaper will remind us of the darkness around us. A world where abuse happens, where viruses spread, where fires destroy, where corruption occurs, where the poor are exploited, where cancer steals. Yet into this world came Jesus as a source of light, the source of light, truth, hope, help. He would triumph over death. He would defeat the powers of evil. He would speak words of truth, giving wisdom and knowledge. He would give his spirit to us to change us from where we are, selfish and dark, to be light. John chapter 1 opens with this idea of Jesus being light. Verse 9, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. Remember that particularly at Christmas, don't we? It's often a theme or a reading in a carol service. And we'll perhaps turn back to a prophecy in Isaiah that the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And we'll say, look, that's talking of Jesus. But here in Matthew, Jesus says of us, if you're his people today, you are the light of the world. And the emphasis in the original, the emphasis is on the first word, you. You and you alone. There's no other light except for you. John chapter 9, Jesus said, while I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. But Jesus isn't physically here anymore in his body. He's in heaven. He's ascended, sat at God's right hand. But he's left us as the source of light. It's a bit like the sun and the moon. The sun in the daytime now, trying to, brings light, doesn't it? But when the evening comes, the sun sets, it disappears over the horizon, it becomes dark, but the moon is there. And if you get a clear sky and a full moon, you see how bright the moon is, don't you? What a difference it makes, particularly if you're away from Cheam, somewhere in the countryside, the brightness of the moon, but it's not the moon's own light. The moon is reflecting the light of the sun. That's what Jesus is getting at here. It's not our own goodness or our own truth or our own efforts, our own lights. No, we're reflectors of the Son of God's glory. It comes from knowing him, from being changed by him, being nourished in his word, having his spirit work in us, that we might reflect his light to others. Expressed in the hope that we have, the truth that we know, the rescue we've received that we've been singing about this morning. You are the light of the world. Well, Jesus goes on to give two implications of that truth. If this is true of you, then recognize these two things. First of all, you will be noticed. You are light. The church has gone through a period, I think, of wanting to be seen to be normal in order to attract people in, whatever normal is. We've used that phrase of ourselves and of events or things we put on. It will be very normal. We see some churches go further than that to change what they believe, to seem more normal. But Jesus here is flagging to us, if you're a Christian, if you're a believer in Jesus, then you are different. And you're supposed to be different. Someone who believes in Jesus and someone who doesn't are different as chalk and cheese, or in this illustration, light and darkness. It should be obvious, says Jesus. Verse 14, look at what he says. Here's a picture for us. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Towns in the Middle East are often built on hills. It was a way of providing natural air conditioning, slightly higher, a bit more breeze. It was a way of being easier to defend, top of a hill. But it meant that they stuck out like a sore thumb, especially at night. in the days of no light pollution, for miles and miles and miles away, you would see lamps, the light of a flame. And Jesus says, that's you, that is. If you are light, you will be seen. You will be noticed. You are like a city on a hill. Your hope, your wisdom, your priorities, your values, your conduct, your life will be seen by others. Now, Jesus is saying here, this is what you are. There's a sense, isn't there, in the rest of the New Testament that it helps us to live up to that, to become more and more like that. The Sermon on the Mount draws that out, the different themes that are picked out there as to what it will look like if you're a follower of Jesus, what your values are now, how you will live. Just keep your finger in Matthew 5 and come with me to Ephesians 5. You are the light of the world, says Jesus. What's that going to look like? How do you grow into that? How do you shine brighter? Verse 1, Ephesians 5, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality, or of any kind of impurity, or of greed, because these things are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. Down to verse 8. For you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It's shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that's illuminated becomes a light. That is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there's loads there, but it's showing us, isn't it? This is who you are. Live as who you are. And these are some of the things it will look like. Things we need to keep working on and changing to be the light we're called to be. And if you live like this, you will be noticed. You will stand out. You will be that city on a hill. And if you're light, you're supposed to be noticed. It would be odd to hide a light, wouldn't it? My sister and brother-in-law were babysitting once when they were much younger. They were adults, but they were much younger. And looking after children, trying to get these children to go off to sleep. It was quite light in the room. They thought they needed the room to be a bit darker. They put a blanket over the light. Started to smell. You don't cover up lights. Back to Matthew 5. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. It's not what you do with lights. Lights are there to be seen. That's their function. Or indeed to help others to see. Instead, says Jesus, they don't put it under a bowl, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. Light is helpful and good. You've probably had that moment where someone has turned the light out on you. And suddenly you're groping in the dark. You can't see. We need light. You are the light of the world. The world needs you. Second implication. The world needs you. If the world is in darkness, it needs you. In the same way, says Jesus, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds. Good deeds mentioned here encompass all kinds of things, things we might do for others, words that come out of our mouths, the truth that we speak, the people we defend, the attitudes we have, the way we use our time, our possessions, our money. We are the light of the world and we have an obligation to shine. Minister at All Souls in London from a few years ago, John Stott, put it this way. You must not fail the world you were called to serve. You are light, and so you must let your light shine and not conceal it in any way, whether by sin or by compromise or by laziness or by fear. A few years before that, the German theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer put it stronger. Flight into the invisible is a denial of the call. A community of Jesus which seeks to hide itself has ceased to follow him. Now, our danger, I don't think, is flight to a monastery. We're all just going to go and hide together away from the world. Our danger is to be hidden in plain sight. To act as if it were blackout conditions, and we try and sort of stop the light sneaking out so that people won't notice us and we blend in. But we're called to shine. Without you, your street is in darkness. But God has placed you in that street or in that block. For a reason, to shine. And so you as a Christian living in that street or in that block, there ought to be things that are distinctive, that are different, that make a difference. Perhaps our home becomes more coffee shop than castle. You know, in this part of the world, we live in castles, don't we? It's where we go and we pull the drawbridge up and it's ours, and no one can come in. But coffee shops are where we go, and we meet, and we talk, and we share. And could our homes be more coffee shop than castle? Or our attitudes to our neighbours, because we're Christians, we've been forgiven by God so much, so we're quick to forgive our neighbour who does that thing or keeps doing that thing. We're ready with a smile, a welcome, where, you know, the rules around here are you don't smile to people. You just ignore them and keep walking. No, we've got the love of God. There's a warmth we've enjoyed and we want to share that with others. God has placed you where you live to bring light. Without you, the school gate is in darkness. But with you, there's a light on. Perhaps seen in the topics we talk about, the way we speak of others, avoiding the gossip, showing our love for our children, but not idolizing our children, or the opportunities they might have. Perhaps sharing some wisdom we've picked up on mobile phones and social media. For some of us, without us, our homes would be in darkness. But God has placed us there to bring light. our children or our unbelieving spouse can see something of who God is and what he's like, the difference Jesus makes to us day to day. Without you, your workplace would be in darkness, but God has placed you there to be light. We're going to think about that this evening. Do come this evening to share thoughts, ideas, learn together and think. The place where you spend most of your time, how are we to be light? And in different circumstances of life, different seasons of life, God calls us to be light. In our illnesses, we're still light. How we react to that, the hopes that we have. If we know we're dying, we're still light. Perhaps shining brighter at that point than any other, compared to what the world around us knows. Our interactions online, we are light, distinctive, different. The changes we bring to society, and that's been true of Christians down through history, isn't it? Christians at the forefront of bringing change, social change. The world needs your light. But not so the world can point at you and praise you. You're not a Christmas light. You're more landing strip on a runway. You know, a pilot in an aeroplane doesn't look down and say, oh, that looks really pretty, doesn't it? No, he looks down and says, oh, great, there it is. We're home. It's this way. Or lighthouse light. A pilot on a ship doesn't look and say, oh, look at that lovely flashing light over there. No, it's wonderful, great, it's pointing out a danger for me. There must be rocks there. I need to be careful and navigate my way around. It's helping me. Verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. That's our motive of the year, isn't it? We started the year there in Romans 11. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Same motive here. God's placed you there as a light so that others will see and glorify him. When we gather on Sundays in our growth groups, it's a time to recharge, isn't it? To dust off, to be brighter as we go back into the places God has put us. That we might be clearer lights, brighter lights. Because that is what God has called us to be. You are the light of the world. You will be noticed, and you are needed. Sometimes we can come together, can't we, to serve together as lights, doing ministry locally, and there's a sense of brightness in that, preschool and tiddlers and plus point. But often for many of us, it's separate on our own, where God has placed us and calls us there to be light. Let's pray as we head into this year. We would remember that calling on our lives. We would help each other with that calling on our lives. Tonight's an opportunity to particularly do that in the workplace. What are the struggles? Why is that hard? What wisdom can we share with each other? What does God's word say to us? You are the light of the world. Let me close with that reminder of who we are. You are the light of the world. Let your light shine that people may see your good works and praise.